Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spark Radio Show, filled with strategies, possibilities, actions, resources, and knowledge that may be the spark of a better solution to ignite a positive change in your life. The number to call if you have questions for Melanie or any of our guests is area code 347-215-8390. Now, here's your host, Ms. Melanie.
Hello, and welcome to Spark Radio. I am your host, Ms. Melanie, and I am so glad that you are joining us tonight because we have a special show for you, which is every week and more so when we have guests. And tonight, we are scheduled to have an exciting discussion with Ms. Jill Slugum, who will be joining us momentarily, and we will be discussing strategies and resources around helping our young children to develop positive cognitive actions and strategies and learning. Beautiful sunny day here in the Midwest. I hope it's beautiful wherever you are in the world when you're listening right now. And so tonight I want to welcome Jill. Hi, Jill.
Hi, Melanie. How are you?
Jill, are you with us?
I am with you.
Oh, there we go. Didn't have you a second ago. Maybe it's just my little device. But I'm glad you're with us. So how are you?
Glad to be here. I'm good. How are you?
I am doing well. Thank you.
Good.
So, in our short time together, Jill, I'll just let you start talking about what it is you do, and then I'll ask you some questions. How does that sound?
That sounds great. I am a child care provider here in New Hampton, Iowa. I am just starting my 8th year of child care.
Did I lose? Oh, there we go. Sorry, I pushed a button. Who knows what I did?
So I will just let you fire away with questions right away.
Oh, wow. Let's see. Where should we start? Let's just talk about some of the things that you do with children in your daycare that helps them to develop cognitively.
Okay. I think we have a tendency as parents and child care providers to kind of focus on letters, numbers, shapes, and colors, which are important, but I think even more important are the social skills and the motor skills that children need to develop in the early years. I guess I'm talking about fine motor skills and gross motor skills. And I jotted down a few ideas. I guess we'll start with infants and toddlers.
Okay.
For fine motor skills, I just jotted down Cheerios on the high chair trays, of course. Reaching for dangling toys, just be careful of the strangulation hazards. Activities that require hand-to-hand transfer, including the connecting pop beads, stringing large beads, playing patty cake, and tactile exploration, which includes sand and canned whipping cream is always fun, or putting paint.
Now, poor Alex never got to play with whipping cream.
What's that?
I said that Alex never got to play with whipping cream. I hadn't thought about that.
That's fun stuff. They always say shaving cream, but you always worry about the chemicals. So
yes.
It's a better option. If you're running out of ideas, I always like to stroll down the toy aisle and just kind of look at the toys available for kids that age. For example, Fisher-Price has a piggy bank out there, which we actually own. But if you don't want to go buy toys, you could save juice can lids and pop them into Kleenex boxes, and it's the same effect.
Hmm.
For fine motor skills for preschoolers, I have buttoning, which can be quite a skill to master, cutting with a scissors, pasting objects onto paper, using tweezers to pick up small objects, placing pegs into a light bright, lacing, stringy beads, and coloring. And for gross motor skills for infants and toddlers, it's generally the way they develop, rolling over, crawling, standing, pulling themselves up. And for preschoolers, it could be rolling and throwing a ball, catching a large ball, kicking a ball, balancing on one foot, galloping, pedaling a trike, all those things that kids love to do anyway. And that's about all I have for fine motor.
Well, and I think it's really insightful that you're right. A lot of us as parents focus on the cognitive things that we think about as school skills,
mm-hmm.
and don't realize the connection between the motor skills and the ability to read and develop the other academic kinds of learning.
Right. Thanks.
Okay. And I know you have some more.
Some more activities that I do?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we do lots of reading. Reading is a very important skill. And also when you have group reading, you're teaching them to sit and listen, something that they're going to need in school, obviously. We do poems, finger plays, songs, group games. Let's see. Play-Doh, of course.
And, yeah, I'm one of those who, yeah, Play-Doh.
Play-Doh's a mess.
Because it sticks to stuff.
What's that?
I said Play-Doh sticks to stuff.
It does. It does, but they get so much out of it.
Yes, they do. Have you figured out a way to separate the colors once they're all mixed up?
No.
They're just checking, because, okay. All right. Jill, what's the age range of children that you have in your daycare?
Right now I have some twins who are premature, so they're kind of on a 12-month-old level, but they're actually 18 months. And then my oldest is 5. And then I'll have some after-school kids.
Ah. And so thinking about parents who have kids with that age range as well, is there any tip or trick that you have in trying to do activities with that diverse ability and skill level?
I can say that a lot of times when you read, the babies love to be read to with singing books like Twinkle Twinkle and all those things that gets them involved. So that's one thing with reading. And every kid loves Play-Doh. Every kid loves Play-Doh, so that fits everybody.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
They can get involved in a lot of things. They can paste things on paper, just watch them with the glue. So it's pretty diverse things that you can do with all of them. It's just a little more supervision required for those little ones.
Ah, there you go. Because I think sometimes as parents we get overwhelmed with trying to make sure that we're doing, you know, the little ones aren't into things they shouldn't be, and the older ones aren't bored because we're doing something that's too elementary.
Mm-hmm.
Or too easy. Okay. Wonderful. Well, let's hop back here. Oh, and I will say, because I didn't do that, we dived right into content that you were joining us. So I will go back and say that for those listeners who want to call you with questions, either about specific questions about young children or about the business of childcare,
mm-hmm.
that they can call us at 347-215-8390. And for those who are out listening on the computer online, can just type in their question in the chat box. So having said that, let's take a look at what's next on our list. Oh, I skipped one. Jill, what is it that you enjoy most about doing in-home child care?
Well, there's lots of things I enjoy. Mostly I enjoy being here with my kids in their early years. I like being my own boss. I can teach as creatively as I want to, and I don't have some higher authority tell me I'm doing it wrong.
Oh, isn't that nice?
It is very nice.
Especially when you have a good sense about the brain and development and those types of things that you can experiment and do things that are creative that may not be in a standard curriculum.
Correct, yes. And I guess I just get to play a lot. That's the best part.
Well, there, and some of us as parents forget that that's really what that time is play.
Right.
And that I remember my father, one of the things he used to say when he would get frustrated would be, that's all you kids do all day is play, play, play. Don't you know there's more to life than play? Now that we're adults, we're like, yeah, at that age, that is life. That is learning. And somewhere we lose that and we forget to play when we're older. But there's definitely learning and joy in that process. And so anything else that you wanted to add that you enjoy?
I think I covered it.
Okay. So along with the things you enjoy about owning your own business, what would you say is one of your greatest challenges and how do you manage it?
I would say the biggest is the so many roles I have to play at the same time. I'm the mother, the caretaker, the cook, the nurse, the maid, the teacher, and I'm usually the only one here doing it, so that's kind of a challenge for me. And then the other one is the feeling of always being at work or always being at home, since my work and home are in the same place.
So you don't have a separate wing or level of your home that's for child care?
No, I sure wish I did, but I don't. So for managing my challenges, I guess the biggest thing is I realize I need to talk to my spouse about it. And it's important for him to understand that he's really the only one that gives me feedback. Most people go to a job and they have coworkers who tell them how they're doing or they have performance feedback from bosses. But me, it's just my husband. So I tell him how important it is that I need to hear that what I'm doing is valuable and that I'm doing okay with it.
Well, good for you for realizing that's helpful.
Yes.
As opposed to just being frustrated.
Right.
And I know having visited you and the great diversity of resources that you have, are there any books or websites that you'd suggest parents go to find some activities or information that might help them?
Sure. I love the DLTK website. It's
is that B as in boy or D as in dog?
D as in dog.
Okay.
DLTK.
Okay.
-teach.com.
Okay.
And it's got pretty much anything you would want. It has crafts, online games, bingo cards that you can make, coloring pages, birthday invitations. It's pretty much all there.
Wow.
Yes. As for the other things, I like to go to the Playhouse, Disney.com, PBSKids.com, because they're in the business of young children, so they know what appeals to them and what games can get them learning. So those are all good ones.
Awesome. Because that's why I love doing this radio show, because I learn things too. Because while I knew about Playhouse, Disney, and PBS Kids, I did not know about DLTK Teach.
Yes.
So I will add that to my resource list. Because although Alex is now 7, he's at home in the summer with Dad, and so we're looking to structure some so that he still has learning time in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
And having fun activities that allow him to do centers or themes and those types of things.
Right.
And build on his interest. Jill, if you could give parents some insights into things that they could do that might better support or help their own child care providers, what are some suggestions from the child care provider perspective?
I think the biggest thing is that we want to be treated as professionals and talked about as if we're professionals. I think we still have the tendency to be called babysitters, which most of us are insulted by that.
Well, yes. And
you think of that teenager that comes in on the weekend for a few hours and it doesn't even compare to what we do every day. So to be on that same level is very insulting for most of us.
Mm-hmm. And while not everyone has degrees, some child care providers like you do have degrees in elementary education or early childhood development. And so to just be acknowledged that there is that, and in the state of Iowa, there's a a licensing or certification process, isn't there?
Correct, yep. Not everybody is licensed, but a majority of people are registered with the DHS. And then
okay.
We also have a new initiative in daycare called the QRS rating scale, where you get evaluated and based on how many stars you have. There's up to 5 stars. But it's kind of new, so I'm actually only at a level 2 right now because it's kind of a stepping stone kind of thing. So
okay.
Other ways of measuring quality, too.
Okay. Awesome. And I think sometimes, too, we forget that while those of us who go to jobs outside of our home have vacation days or we have sick days, when you're a child care professional, it seems like there's not as many of those
right.
that are available for you.
Right. And that was actually under my list of frustrations that I didn't share. But that is where, you know, you don't feel like you can run to the doctor quick if you just need a checkup, or you don't feel like you can go eat lunch with your child at school without taking the day off, or myself, my husband is my substitute, so he would have to take day off to come here.
Mm-hmm.
That is a huge frustration for some.
Well, and I think, yeah, hearing that helps to remind us, because it is a very, very important role that child care providers fill in the lives of children
mm-hmm.
in terms of being a very important influence on their development, not only cognitively, but also, as you said, socially and physically, that they're getting good nutrition and they're learning good lessons.
Right.
With you. Okay. If you could, Jill, give some words of wisdom or some concepts that in your dream world that all the parents with children in child care would know or would understand, what would those be?
I think another frustration of mine is parents tend to want to tell you how to run your day.
Oh, my.
And, you know, being in the profession I'm in and having the background that I do, I think I know what I really want my business to look like. And I don't appreciate sometimes people telling me to skip the nap or not have this. Or it's usually the nap thing that's the issue, which for somebody who's on their own in their own home, the only adult, the nap thing is a big thing for us. We need that break, and the kids need the quiet time. So
mm-hmm.
if they could just kind of be understanding of our situation and believe that we really are trying to do the best for their kid, that
mm-hmm.
would be helpful.
Well, and I think there that and can they make suggestions in a way that are offered and being open to hearing your reasons behind why you're doing what you're doing?
Right. I think most of us are open if they're having problems, that we would love for them to come to us with it. But sometimes we just can't change everything. Because
right.
keep in mind we also have, you know, 6, 7 other children who need that quiet time.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to provide that environment for everyone.
Right. And so, Jill, you have now one of your children goes to school all day. Do two of them go all day?
Caleb is in all-day preschool every other day. But his last day is Friday, and then he's a kindergartner.
Ah.
And
so...
Austin
okay.
all day in first grade, yes.
Okay. And so for parents who are thinking about doing this business because they want to spend more time with their children,
mm-hmm.
Whether you've got some in school or just they're all young at home, what tips or suggestions might you offer those parents who are interested in having their own in-home child care business?
Well, I'd like to say I don't think they would ever regret spending the time with their kids. You know, sometimes it's a sacrifice. You have to give up a little freedom, like in your scheduling, but the good news is you get to be with your children. I don't think you would ever regret that.
That's very well said. As we move through just some other thoughts, there are sometimes developmental behaviors that create challenges for children as they're learning more about being independent, or they are struggling with how they're coping with some stress. And so there may be acting out behaviors, like whether that's hitting or biting or things like that. Do you have suggestions for parents and some strategies they might try if those acting out behaviors start showing up?
At home, you mean, or in the child care environment?
At home first.
At home? Well, I guess my first suggestion would be to maybe look at what privileges they have that they can be without if they cannot stop the acting out behavior. That's usually what we do. But every tool is not fit for every child, so you have to kind of gauge it to your child.
Well, and yes, enter the challenge of being a parent because that's so true, because you have, just like parents trying to give you advice about running your business, well, many parents tend to give advice, too, about, oh, well, if you would just do blah, 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 that would solve the problem. Well, that might work for one personality type of child or one with one learning style, but not across the board.
Right.
Okay.
And in our own family, we have two very different children who have very different discipline strategies from us.
And that's working for you, right?
Yes, yep.
And see, I think that's also important for parents to hear, and child care providers as well, that, and we get this mixed up idea that fair means treating everybody the same.
Mm-hmm.
And by definition, to be fair is to treat each according to their need.
Right.
And so... Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, in fact, I taught across the hall from a sixth grade teacher when I was a first grade teacher, and she had a sign on her door that said, fairness doesn't mean having what everybody else has. It means having what you need.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a powerful thing to look at every day.
So fairness doesn't mean you have what everyone else has. Fairness means you have what you need.
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Because, of course, you know, and kids do that. Well, so-and-so has that.
Mm-hmm.
And if Caleb gets one, why don't I get one?
Right.
And even with we only have one, my regular listeners know I do share Alex's stories. And even with Alex, he'll talk about, though, with school snacks, for example, that we won't send chocolates or the junky kinds of snacks. We want brain-healthy snacks. And so we'll hear, oh, but Battle had cheese puffs or Katie had something. And it's like, well, you know, I'm not their mom.
Mm-hmm. Things you thought you would never say.
Well, yeah. Get into that interesting discussion about, well, I could go live there. And I said, well, just remember that while you might get cheese puffs for your snack, you might not be able to. And then some of the fun things that we do with him. And then he thinks that maybe he'll stay here.
Right.
And so, and it really, it is an adventure, the process of growing with your children. I think sometimes we focus on raising the best kids, that we lose sight of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not fun anymore.
Right.
And even when it is in those moments of challenge, there are seeds of wisdom or things that cause us to stop. I also want to talk, Jill, a little bit about, do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It is.
Would you share that?
I will. It is Love and Learning Daycare.
L-O-V-E?
Yes.
A-N-D?
Yep.
And then the word learning.
Learning. Daycare.
Care.
Dot Google Pages.
Yeah, see, I forgot to tell you ahead of time I was going to ask you about your website.
Yeah, I don't visit it myself very often, so I have to think.
Oh. Well, I'll let part of your brain think. Yeah, I have my computer up. I'm watching my chat window and things, so I can try to Google it also to see. One of the challenges is balancing privacy with sharing information with families, and websites are a great way that parents can check in and look at what's going on with pictures, and kids like to see themselves on the screen, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit about some of the decisions, the process you went through in deciding how you would manage your website, what kinds of information you would include?
Well, I if you go to my website, you'll see there's big yellow smiley faces over everybody's head. People can access it, and I don't necessarily want them knowing which children are in my daycare because you just don't know what's out there nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
So their identities are protected that way, and then I do have a link that just says email me. I don't want to put an address on.
Okay.
And daycare has children, and some people look for children, so that's not information that I want out there either.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of feedback have you had from your website?
You know, this one doesn't have a guest book, but generally my parents enjoy looking at it. They can check out the pictures and my schedules on there, my daily schedule as well as my yearly curriculum. So I think it's a valuable resource for them. I hope so anyway.
Okay. Well, and you bring up some very good points because I know our Alex goes to Summit School, which is a private school, and we do sign a release, which we could say no, that we don't want his picture used in their marketing materials or when they are promoting different activities on the school site. And there are also ways that you can password protect pages
mm-hmm.
on the website so that then only the parents would have those passwords as well.
Technologically advanced.
We'll have to chat offline about that one because I think Tom might be able to help you with that. There are ways that you can share the public pieces and let people know that you're out there. Do you post resources on your website, Jill?
I do.
Awesome.
I think I have the area guide to, I think it's called Families, I don't even know the title of it, but it has resources, basically all the resources there are in the area for families, whether it be counseling, substance abuse, early access for your children if you don't feel that they're developing correctly. So it has all that information on it.
Oh, that's very helpful when you're, as a parent, whether it's a new parent of a young child or a step parent who's now has children that maybe 3, 4, 5 and just hasn't had that experience with what is the sequence of
right.
development,
mm-hmm.
you know, or again, well-meaning people saying, well, Julie down the street can ride a bicycle and she's 4. Well, that's good for Julie,
right.
you know, and Joey will ride when he's ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I think sometimes that pressure to compare kids can create challenges as well. What are some strategies that you've used, Jill, because having 3 kids, as well as the kids in daycare, do you find that they compare themselves against each other?
I don't really feel that they've gotten to that point right now. Some of them, like the school-age ones, will kind of try to one-up the other one. If somebody did this, then they did it 2 weeks ago. But as far as the preschoolers, I really don't have that problem yet.
Okay. Well, that's awesome. And then with your own boys, just in your mind as a parent, do you find yourself looking at, you know, what happened, you know, when the first child, how old was he when he started talking, walking, learned his alphabet, et cetera?
Yes, I do, and I try not to. It's hard not to, but you really can't compare children. And like I said, my oldest is way different from my middle child. My middle child is outgoing. He wanted to wrestle this year and went to a tournament and got a trophy. My oldest.
And this is the one that's in every other day preschool, right?
Yes.
Oh, my.
Yes. And Austin just, he could care less about that trophy and didn't really bother him that his little brother got there first. So I think you just have to realize they're different and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. And I think the more that parents can have that message from a variety of directions, the more they may believe that. Because
mm-hmm.
It's challenging. I know in the work that I know about the brain and the development of the brain, with knowing there are some windows of opportunity for languages and for music, et cetera, there are some things that we haven't given Alex as much of a choice about.
Mm-hmm.
With, like piano, for example. He started piano when he was 6. And he wasn't so sure he was ready to do it. And luckily, his pre-K teacher gave piano lessons, so he knew her, and so that was a connection. Now, in the sports side of things, he's been a little slower to develop physically and hasn't really expressed interest in sports, and we've decided that we're going to wait until that's something he wants to do and when he's physically more coordinated to do the team thing. And that's, I think, a tough challenge because, again, you know, it's that fine line between I want to be encouraging and I want to expose them to opportunities, and I want them to do this because it's developmentally good for them. And so as a parent, you go, well, gee, what do I do?
Right. We have that.
For Jill, if I'm going to come to you as the daycare provider, child care provider for me, and say, you know, do we start piano lessons? What do we do?
I think it's always okay to encourage them. I guess I was told with our oldest one, we always question, are we doing it right? Because he is the timid one that you kind of have to give him a little push and then he loves it. But I think if we gave him a little push and he hated it, then it's time to back off. So I think it's always okay to try, but really take the feedback from your child and follow his lead.
Oh, there you go. That's some wise advice. And because there's definitely value in learning those different activities and exposing them to a variety, especially when they're young, of art and music and physical activity and creative, imaginative play that sometimes we tend as parents to do what we like to do or what's easiest for us.
Right.
And then sort of gloss over the ones, the things that maybe we don't do so well.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some observations or things that you look for when you're doing activities with the kids in terms of knowing when to step in and help them versus staying back and letting them try to work it out?
Well, you really have to watch their level of frustration, because if they get too frustrated, it's not going to help either one of you. I think it's okay to let them keep trying, but the minute they hit that high frustration level, it's okay to step in and help.
Well, and high frustration level can be defined in a lot of ways. You know, and as you said, watching your child and really observing those signals and noticing, too, that just like when we're tired, we react differently. When our kids are tired, they have personality shifts, too,
right.
For lack of a better word.
It really requires a deep knowledge of the children, I think, to really know when they're frustrated and when is okay frustration and when is too much. It really takes a lot of observation, I guess. And sometimes all it takes is you stepping in and saying, you know, you can do this if you just take a deep breath and calm down and don't get mad. I have to do that with my middle child a lot. Because he tends to let his anger take control of the situation. But if you just say, Caleb, you don't have to get mad. You can do this if you just take a deep breath. Then it kind of gets him back on track.
Yeah, it breaks that negative emotional state that they're locked in and. And sometimes, and I'm one of those that I think has a tendency to step in to help too quickly. Sometimes if I don't stop, and as Alex has gotten older, he said, Mom, I can do this. I've gotten better about saying, Alex, do you want me to help or do you want to try a little longer? And sometimes he'll want me to help too fast, and so I'll try different ways of helping him, like giving him a verbal direction, or do you want me to show you how to do that again?
Right.
And I think part of it, with the frustration with us who are parents, is that there is no one right best way.
Right.
Much as we would love to have one. What is it, Jill, that you do to deal with the stress that obviously, now I'm assuming, happens when you're with kids all day, like you said, and you are on duty all day?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do to de-stress or to give yourself a break so that you can somewhat have that transition between being on duty, being child care provider, and then being mom and being wife?
Well, I do a lot of grocery shopping.
By yourself?
I do. One of my complaints is that I'm always at home, so I go grocery shopping 2-3 times a week just to get away from home and then come back. And now I'm at home. I'm not at work anymore.
Ah.
Somebody also gave me a tip, and I might have to try it sometime when I'm really frazzled. They say you should go out your back door, run around the house, and come in your front door and exclaim, "I'm home."
Ooh.
Make the transition that you left your job out the back door, you came in the front, and now you're home. But I haven't found that perfect transition yet.
I may try that, too, on the days that I work at home part-time with my business. And so it is tough to make the shift.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fun strategy.
It is. Try that. I
haven't
tried
that
because I just think I'd look crazy, but someday I might get loose into it.
Well, and you can walk around the house.
Oh, I could.
Instead of running. Yeah, I couldn't physically run. That would be scary. My knee to watch, but that is something that is definitely worth a try. I'll check in with you and see. After you try that, shoot me an email and let me know how that works. Or if any of my listeners decide to give it a try, for those of you who are stay-at-home moms or dads or work-at-home moms or dads, to see if that helps in making that transition. Because, two, one of the other challenges as a parent in transitioning with kids is that whole coming home from school time.
Right.
Kids, you know, some parents want the kids to do the homework right now before
mm-hmm.
you do anything else. And as having taught first grade, and from that perspective as a teacher, do you have any suggestions for parents when it comes to handling homework?
Well, I was just at a training a few weeks ago for dealing with after-school age children, and their suggestion was these children are at school all day. They're told what to do, when to do from 8 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. When they come home, the last thing they want to do is to be told what to do when. So she suggested you give them 3 things that they need to have done and give them a timeline. So they, you know, her suggestion was by 4 o'clock, you need to have a snack, you need to have read for 10 minutes, and you need to find a game. So, you know, they have that freedom. They know 3 things that they have to do, but they get to choose when. And I
mm-hmm.
think that's very powerful for a child to have a choice after a long day at school.
And I think I've heard similar advice as well, that kids who have worked so hard to focus during the day and to follow the rules, that sometimes when they come home, you don't know if they're your children or not, because their behavior is so all over the board.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's figuring out that coming up with a routine that is a transition routine that gives them that freedom
mm-hmm.
to run and move and relax. Okay, good. Because I've heard mixed reviews with the homework, and so I'm curious. I have a chat from a colleague who said, "I just want to tell Jill how wonderful she is as a teacher, a child care provider, mom, and friend."
Well,
so I will share that with you.
Thank you very much.
And I asked if we have any questions, and I will give the phone number again in case any of our listeners have thought of questions. And that number is 347-215-8390. So if you have any questions for Jill about your children's development or working with multiple children across ages or your own child care business, give us a call, because she'd love to answer a question. Wouldn't you, Jill?
I would.
Good, because I have one for you. And the question is, does it feel like it's your responsibility to delegate homework, or can it be left to the parents?
You know, this is my first year of doing after-school care, so I really haven't had any suggestions on whether they want it done now or whether they would work on it at home. Sometimes the child comes in, and if he has a baseball game, he'll say, "Can I work on my homework?" And of course you can. And then I just kind of check it over with him. But really, I kind of follow their lead because I don't know what their home schedule is. And if they asked me to help them with homework, I would love to do that.
Well, and then the question is, whose job is it? Is it the child's job to be responsible, or is it the parent's job?
About doing their homework?
Uh-huh.
It kind of depends on the age of the child. I think you should gradually move it to their responsibility. Kindergarten, first grade, they don't really have much homework, but beyond that, they might need a reminder, but I really think it needs to be their responsibility, at least to let you know that they have homework and to let you know if they need help. Because really, we're building responsibility for our children, and I think that's a good place to start.
Mm-hmm. And again, there's that temptation to step in and take control about that. And I know at Summit School, they started in kindergarten with what they called responsibility sheets. And it was just one page of activities. And sometimes it was just reading. Sometimes it was circling letter combinations for sounds. And the direction to the parents was, it is called a responsibility sheet. And it is your child's responsibility. So
good.
And it is, and it's hard, though, to, if, you know, we haven't had a good pattern of doing, or one day the folder didn't get put in the backpack, and Alex was upset about that in first grade, and they still have responsibility sheets every day.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that it was you didn't put it in my backpack. So we had the discussion about whose responsibility sheet is it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so it's his job to check and make sure everything's in there. Because usually it goes in there by one of the three of us, after we're done in the evening. But if it doesn't, it's his job to make sure he has everything before he walks out the door. And you know what? I can feel bad if he doesn't have something. But, you know, the rescue instinct has to put it on hold.
That's a healthy way to look at it. I think too many parents try to live through their kids, and if their child's not responsibility, or their child isn't responsible, they tend to take that on themselves. But we're not doing our children any service by being responsible for them. So It is a tough choice to make.
Well, and I think, too, it depends partly on how the teacher approaches it with the impact of homework on grades and that type of thing, too, as to whether the parent needs to be more actively involved in monitoring whether it's getting done or not.
Right.
So initially, yes, if the parents can support their children, but let it be their responsibility, let them own their homework, then yes. And sometimes you're right, too often we take it on that it's a reflection on us as parents if we step in, or don't step in, rather, that our child came to school without their homework done or without their responsibility sheet finished. And
right.
Mm-hmm, really the child. Jill, we have a little over a minute remaining. Doesn't time fly?
It does.
When we're having fun. Thank you, said the person with the question about homework. And is there anything that you would like to share? How did I go back and see how I worded that last question I had for you? That was, could you summarize what you would consider to be the most important message that you would want our listeners to take away from your interview tonight?
Well, actually, I put something down that we didn't actually get to. I wanted them to be aware that they need to be models of character. And one of my examples was that my children were taught a huge lesson one time. We got somewhere, there was an event, and there was a huge line, and we had gone there with another family who found a friend and jumped at the front of the line and tried to encourage us to come, at which we declined and said, I really don't feel right about budging in front of all these children who got here before us. And she replied that she has no problem with it and she'd catch up with us later. Well, she's got two little boys who took away a lesson that they really didn't want to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other hand, I didn't have to say a word. And Austin said, Mommy, that really wasn't fair that they budged in front of all those people that got here before them. So sometimes, you're teaching a lesson by what you do. And I think anybody that works with children has to know that, and they need to be careful about their decisions and stand up for their convictions, even if it's against the crowd because you have children watching.
Wow, and that's true for parents especially. The children watch and children listen. Well, thanks, Jill, for being with us and for sharing. And if people who are listening to this in the archives, because I have a number of listeners who don't join us live, you're welcome to send an email to me. It's brainbonanza@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to share that with Jill and answer questions for you on an upcoming show. And Jill, at some point, we'd love to have you back if you're willing to come back again.
Of course.
Awesome. Thanks so much for sharing. I know that you've helped me as well as our listeners in thinking differently about helping our children to learn and grow.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jill. Bye-bye.
And bye-bye.
And thank you, listeners, for being with us. And until next time, may you choose to create great days as you continue making a positive difference in the lives you touch. See you next time.
Thank you for listening to Spark Radio with Miss Melanie. Please share this show link with those you believe would enjoy and benefit from listening. We invite you to join us for upcoming shows with special guests and more sparks. May a spark you heard ignite a positive change in your life. Good day.